Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the cigar store of free speech, because you can go into that cigar store and there might be a lot of people standing around smoking cigars and clouding the air, but we cut right through all the cloud and cigar smoke. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send shekels. And download the Co-Certified app. You can get it from nationalbugle.com, which is back at 100%. We're number one. We are the number one website for downloading the glorious Co-Certified app. More to be said about that soon. Anyway, this is our Monday show, and we have a bit of a Chinese-themed show, even though we've got like a Russian-themed news cycle. But Cato, welcome to the show.
Well, glad we made another week, Dr. Shattery. This has been our third show ever since the war in Ukraine broke out. And every week, we always wonder if we're going to make it to the next week. And here we are again. We've made it another week.
And there's no guarantees. There are just no guarantees. So there's a lot going on. And not, like, the fundamental outlook for what's going on in Ukraine, I don't think has changed much. You've got Russia, which is going relatively slowly and cautiously. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to meet their military objectives. I think the whole thing is that the Jews in the State Department, like Victoria Nuland, want to regime change Vladimir Putin. And, you know, these people, largely the same people, regime changed Donald Trump. Although, honestly, I think losing Vladimir Putin would be a lot worse for us than losing Donald Trump. They're trying to regime change him by having a war with lots of death and suffering, and use that to garner international opinion against him, isolate the economy, and also get his own people mad at him. I don't think it's going to work. And a big reason I don't think it's going to work, maybe the main reason, is that the West is no longer in a position to isolate any country, because you've got an entire other economic world out there, which is centered around China. And if China's not going to participate in the isolation, then there's no isolation. Am I characterizing that correctly?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, China is become the center of the post liberal New World Order, and is leading the charge.
You could almost say it's kind of like the middle country.
Yeah, China. Zhongguo. Zhong means middle. Guo means country. So the middle nation. And yeah, China is leading the charge. Is the undisputed leader in this global struggle against the liberal New World Order, led by the United States, or ruled by the United States. So, yeah, there's no doubt that China is the solution to America's problems.
Yeah. All right. So there's a lot that's gone on. You've got an article, and is this relating to the President Xi, President Brandon R. Trojan phone call, or is it something else?
It's it's somewhat related to it. It was right after okay. Phone call.
All right. And this is, what is it? It's the foreign minister or the vice foreign minister?
Yeah, the vice foreign minister. So this is from RT. China warns of unimaginable consequences if nuclear power is forced into a corner. Beijing's vice foreign minister blames NATO for stoking the instability that led to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And it says, the article says, Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Liu Yuteng has said globalization should not be weaponized and military bloc politics must be rejected. The comments come a day after U.S. President Joe Biden warned his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping that there would be consequences if China supported Russia's military action in Ukraine. Speaking at the Fourth International Forum on Security and Strategy in Beijing on Saturday, the official agreed with Moscow's assessment that NATO's unchecked expansion in Eastern Europe and the failure to address Russia's national security concerns had paved the way for the current crisis. He said a simple commitment of no eastward expansion could have easily ended the crisis and stopped the suffering. And this is also what the Chinese vice foreign minister said. He said, quote, "Instead, one chose to fan the flames at a safe distance, watching its own arms dealers, bankers, and oil tycoons make a fortune out of the war while leaving the people of a small country with the wounds of war that would take years to heal," he said. "NATO's pursuit of absolute security leads instead to absolute non-security," Le added. Moscow has vehemently opposed NATO's presence close to its borders and embarked on a mission to obtain written guarantees that would halt the U.S.-led military bloc's expansion and bar Ukraine from joining its ranks. However, the West ignored Russia's concerns. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced a special military operation on February 24th with a stated goal to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, ensure that it is no longer posed a threat to either Russia or to the newly recognized Donbass republics, which have suffered 7 years of grueling siege, more like genocide. The U.S. and its NATO allies have accused Russia of starting an unprovoked war to conquer and subsume Ukraine. Moscow has seen thousands of harsh new curbs and sanctions slapped on it as a result, with the U.S., the EU, and others seeking to isolate and destroy the Russian economy. "History has proven time and again that sanctions cannot solve problems," Le said. "The sanctions against Russia are getting more and more outrageous. Sanctions will not only harm ordinary people, impact the economic and financial system, and worsen the global economy." Beijing has come under increased pressure from the West to distance itself from Moscow and sever its trade ties after China abstained from a United Nations General Assembly resolution condemning Russia's military action in Ukraine, choosing to remain neutral alongside India, Pakistan, South Africa, and 30 other countries. In a video conference call with Biden on Friday, Xi stressed that China has always stood for peace and opposes war, and urged all parties involved in the conflict to return to diplomacy. In response, Biden warned him that Beijing would face consequences should it provide material support to Russia or help it evade Western sanctions.
That sounds like a threat.
It's spot on. Everything he said is true. It is America's fault for causing this whole conflict. It's because of American stupidity and incompetence and the American power hunger, bloodthirst for hegemony, to reassert its hegemony, that's caused all this all these problems.
Yeah, I mean, and when we talk about America, we've got to put that asterisk there, or not so much an asterisk as maybe a little circle with a U in it. You know, it's the kosher mark. Kosher America.
Okay, I'll keep saying the American Empire then.
You have people like John Mersheimer who talk about, you know, great power politics and this and that. I think maybe people have heard me say it too often, but I think what this is all about is a Jewish American, or, you know, it's not so much Israeli, but it's like a Jewish diaspora. But certainly that Jewish diaspora is centered in America. And they have a vendetta against Vladimir Putin for having seized back control, for the most part, of Russia from the grips of the Jewish oligarchy that ran roughshod over the country for 8 years in the 1990s upon the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And I don't think they've ever forgiven him. What is that Jewish saying we always hear? It's forgive and forget. Oh, no, that's not it. It's never forget. That's right. Yeah. And so they're never going to forgive him, and they're never going to forget about it. And so they're trying to I'm convinced that's what it is, and that the provocation of a war, there is an aspect of perhaps stupidity to it. I think the strategy isn't necessarily a stupid strategy, but it's not going to work. I think the strategy in and of itself is provoke and provoke and provoke and ultimately and cross well demarcated red lines, and you get a military response, and then you point at that military response and you call it an unprovoked attack, and you use all the power that you have in the media to rally the people around condemn sanctions and get the people. I mean, I think right now you've got I have poll numbers from Canada. There was a poll taken in Canada. It's a very interesting poll, and it shows a great deal of support for a no-fly zone, majoritarian support for a no-fly zone. The thing is, let's see if I can get this up here. They divided this, the poll, between people who have had the vaccine and haven't had the vaccine. And guess what? People who have had the vaccine are much more likely to support war with Russia, and people who have refused the vaccine are much less likely to support it. So, there's that. And that's not really that much of a surprise.
Of course, because they believe anything the American mainstream media tells them.
Yeah. It was a Canadian poll, but still, it's the same thing, the same principle. And so I think so they've got it. So the population is riled up, and so you've got a situation where the American public and the American Congress is pressuring the administration to take stronger actions. And the thing is, the American administration itself, I don't think they really want to. I don't even think Victoria Nuland wants to get in a war, get America involved directly in a war with Ukraine. I think the whole idea, because a war would be disastrous and they'd lose and they'd look stupid. I think the whole plan is to get Ukraine is to make Russia look as bad as possible. Russia's going to meet its objectives, but the idea is to make them look bad and isolate Russia and regime change Putin. I think that's the strategy. And I think this type of thing might have worked 10 or 15 years ago, but I don't think it's going to work today. And because I think they have missed the fact that the power structure of international relations is different, and we're past the unipolar moment. We are in a multipolar world, and a combination of Russian military strength and Chinese economic strength, not that they don't have their own military strength too, but that combination is a counterbalance to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a good thing, and as American dissidents, we should rejoice, because that means that the American empire, which oppresses, the very people who call themselves Americans, patriotic Americans, that empire that oppresses us is now going to be put in check. So we should rejoice at that.
Yeah, I think so too. But 100 something years ago, 108 years ago, when World War I broke out, it surprised a lot of people that the German Social Democratic Party, that they voted to fund the war. They had a large contingent in the German parliament, and they voted to fund the war, which was surprising to a lot of people. And I think the problem is, like, there's an awful lot of dissidents, the dissident right, or whatever you want to call it. There's an awful lot of dissidents, maybe dissident left too, perhaps, certainly, whose instincts, on the dissident right, the instincts are to view the United States government as hostile, and on the dissident left, it's to view the military industrial complex or whatever as hostile and be anti-war, and yet so many of these people have been brainwashed or gaslit or whatever into supporting Ukraine because of national self-determination or their, you know, their rights of self-government or whatever, some sort of weird principles. Well, weird principles, some sort of principles. But, you know, the funny thing is, like, I heard this debate between Nick Fuentes and some, I think he's a gamer or something. What's his name? Destiny. People might know who that is. And Destiny was going off on all these State Department talking points about, you know, Ukrainian sovereignty, and it's a sovereign country. And so if it wants to join NATO, what right does Vladimir Putin have to say no? But of course, is it really a sovereign country? Does a sovereign country really have its government overthrown by the State Department in 2014? Because that's what happened. And is it a sovereign country where you can capture a phone call of Victoria Nuland saying we want so-and-so to be prime minister and F the EU, and then so-and-so becomes a prime minister? Yatsenyuk, you know.
But I mean, you know, the one thing that Ukraine is known for is, you know, the people there aren't the biggest fan of Jews, and yet their prime minister or their president is Jewish. Mm-hmm. Is that independence and sovereign signs of an independent and sovereign country? No, of course not.
Yeah, it's not a sovereign country. It is, what would you call it? Some sort of military protectorate of the Zio American Empire. It's not sovereign.
Not to mention, too, is it a sovereign country if it has, you know, I don't know, over 25 U.S. bio warfare labs in the country? Is that a sovereign country? One that would host a U.S. Bio experimental warfare labs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'm not necessarily opposed to the John Mearsheimer realpolitik angle on this. That, well, you know, in international relations, you just can't talk about rights. This is what Mearsheimer says. You know, in international relations, it's not like domestic politics. International politics is different, and might makes right. You know, that's the realist viewpoint. Might makes right, and then of course also saying, look at the United States. The United States has a Monroe Doctrine. They've you know, we say that our entire hemisphere is off limits to other great powers. And, you know, you can certainly look at all the intervention the United States has done. And in the case of Ukraine, you know, Russia, it has the power to do it, and B, it has the motivation to do it. It cares a lot more about what happens in Ukraine than the United States does. I'm not necessarily opposed to that kind of argument if people want to make it. But, you know, the thing is, Ukraine has not been a sovereign country. You know, it has not been exercising self-determination. You know, it was taken over in a coup, and of course it's like, you know, all other so-called democracies are just subjected to Jewish power through the media. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if there was a principle, even if there was a principle you wanted to stick up for, it, is that really the hill you want to die on? Is we have to have World War III to protect the Ukrainians' right to be brainwashed by Jews,
to have, you know, gay anal, and
yeah, or protect the Jews' right to brainwash Ukrainians. Anyway,
the one thing I do agree with on what Mearsheimer's lecture was when he was talking about all the flaws of liberal hegemony was he does say that the main problem with liberal imperialism is that it underestimates the power of nationalism. And that nationalism never fails. And he said nationalism is the most powerful because it is the most natural. He may have not said it in those words, but that's what he meant.
All right. Well, we're at the break. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries
eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, we are back, and so China is clarifying its position on the Ukraine conflict.
Mm-hmm. So this is also from RT. It says, China declares position on Ukraine conflict. Beijing asserts it won't cave into Washington's pressure, which it considers irresponsible and futile. Beijing makes an independent stance on the Ukraine crisis. A spokesperson for China's foreign ministry, Zhao Lijian, said during a press conference on Friday. The remark came in response to threats made by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who warned China on Thursday that Washington would impose costs on it should Beijing choose to support Moscow. Li Jin has stated that on the Ukraine issue, China has always acted objectively and impartially and made independent judgments based on the merits of the matter itself. The Chinese diplomat also stressed that pressure from Washington would not make Beijing change its stance. He added that some U.S. officials were still trying to spread disinformation regarding China's position, something Li Jin described as irresponsible and not conducive to the resolution of the crisis. In China's view, the U.S. ought to seriously reflect on the role in the Ukraine crisis, as well as earnestly assume its due responsibilities. Li Jin also called Washington to take practical actions to ease the situation and solve the problem, rather than continue to add fuel to the fire. On Friday, U.S. President Joe Biden and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping will hold a talk. So this was before the talks. But we'll hold talks before via telephone with the Ukraine crisis high on the agenda. Biden is expected to repeat warnings made earlier by Blinken regarding any possible actions China may take to support Russia's aggression. On Thursday, China's Commerce Ministry spokesman, Gao Feng, made it clear that China opposed any form of unilateral sanctions that have no basis in international law. According to the official, such punitive measures not only fail to resolve security issues, but also harm the lives of ordinary people, disrupt global markets, and make the world's already slowing economy even worse. The statement came hard on the heels of Jake Sullivan's warning to China on Sunday, in which Joe Biden's national security advisor cautioned that Beijing would absolutely face consequences should it help Moscow evade Western sanctions. Since February 24th, when Russia launched its military offensive against Ukraine, the U.S., Canada, and the whole of the EU, as well as several other nations, have slapped a slew of crippling economic sanctions on Moscow. The country's central bank and several major commercial banks, as well as entire industries, have been targeted. China has consistently refused to impose punitive measures on Russia. Moscow, and then it just goes on to talk about what Russia's done, which we know. So, it's just one thing about sanctions, too. I mean, these sanctions, for one thing, are not going to hurt Russia. They're, if anything, going to help Russia, because it's going to help Russia and the world become independent of the United States. I mean, the United States is collapsing rapidly. And they think the problem is these people in the federal government at the State Department still think the whole world revolves around the United States, and whatever the United States sees and does, you know, things will comply, which is not the case anymore. Yeah. Nothing is around the United States anymore, and that was proven, by the way, when Joe Biden went to, tried to get Saudi Arabia to sell some of their oil to the U.S., and the Saudis wouldn't even bother. In fact, they wouldn't even bother to, pick up the phone for the U.S.
The phone. If there was something really positive about the whole international system that has been created around the United States since World War II, then there would be a good reason to be very, very upset at how it's going to be trashed. But the fact is the system that's been built up is not working for us. And so there's no point in actually mourning its demise. But there is a demise. And so countries are being driven away from it. Major countries, to have Russia driven away. Russia's completely driven away at this point. Other countries like China and India and South Africa, Pakistan, are being pressured to participate in the isolation of Russia. They're just not going along with it, and instead are building alternative institutions. And that is at the expense of the American empire. And that's, if we were American empire enthusiasts, then we should be upset about it, but we're not. And, there is a tendency to want to root for the home team or something, but the home team doesn't like us, and the home team's really our enemy in this case. And so we've got to be mature enough to resist that temptation to just kind of jump on the bandwagon. We're coming up towards the break, but there's an awful lot of propaganda that's getting put out there, which sooner or later is going to be exposed. And I want to talk about, what the psychological impacts might be from that. So that will be after these important messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, and we're back. Now, it's really hard to get information unless you know where to look for it. And a lot of the places that we might have looked for information have been getting shut down and canceled and this and that. And the mainstream media is, even people who should know better still will watch it and get depressed because they're pumping out this entire narrative that the Ukrainian resistance is way stiffer than Putin expected, and his offensive has stalled, and this and that. Now, I'm sure there are people, listeners out there, who might have some good places that they already go. They know where to look for information. Here's one YouTube channel. It's still on YouTube, but it's also on Rumble and others. And this guy's name is Alexander McCorris. And he's got a British accent. And his organization, or he's affiliated with some organization called the Duran, which I've heard of before, but I'm not that familiar with. But I've watched a few of his videos where he's just bringing in news, and he doesn't go like really heavy on predictions, and he'll say, well, I've heard, you know, this is coming from Russian sources, Russian state sources, so make of it what you will, or this is coming from such and such, I haven't been able to verify it. So he is pretty, I don't know, cautious in saying what's going on, but he does say what's in various news sources, and it does seem as if Russia is going to be meeting its objectives. It's just a matter of how long. Now there's 2 points that he made in his most recent video, which is panic as Mariupol approaches whatever. I can't see. Oh, as panic as Mariupol approaches fall, Russia uses hypersonic missiles, confrontation between China, U.S. So there, towards the end, he talked about China and U.S. A little bit before that, he was talking about the psychological impact of narratives falling apart. But before we get to the psychological aspect, yeah, he was talking about this telephone call between Biden and Xi Jinping. And the way he was describing it was that Xi Jinping, you know, Biden's trying to get Xi Jinping to go along with the sanctions on Russia, and he's not. And Xi Jinping is reminding Biden that, oh, you know, you made these various commitments to us in terms of, not changing your 50-year-old policy or your many decades old policy of one China. I guess the one China policy goes back to the late 40s. It's just that in the 1970s, which capital was recognized as a one China changed, but they've had the one China policy has been in effect for over 70 years. And he said, and Biden says, well, yeah, we will reiterate these commitments. And she says something like, well, yeah, you said you were going to do certain things in our last phone call and you haven't. And I'm not sure of all the specifics that were being referred to there, but you know, one type of thing that's happened since then is former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo actually visited Taiwan and called for the United States to recognize a Taiwanese independence that hasn't even been declared yet. And this, you know, for our listeners, before I kick it over to you, I just need to emphasize that this is something that was never done in the past. You didn't have Warren Christopher, Madeleine Albright, or Henry Kissinger, or any other former Secretary of State visit Taiwan, let alone call for recognition of an independence that it's never even declared, and an independence that it goes against the longstanding one China policy. So I kick it over to you, Cato.
Well, it's like this. You got two branches of the empire. On one side, you have the liberal left, global homo, establishment, which is all about, yeah, ultimately they want to see the American empire, reassert its hegemony over the world, and they want the unipolar moment, and yes, they want to spread their degeneracy throughout the whole world, but to them, it's more like they don't want to do all the, the dirty work and the fighting right away. They want to see if they can try to squeeze them or pressure them with all these sanctions and blockades and forming these, kind of these global international coalitions and alliances and everything to try to pressure all these non-liberal compliant nations to fold. But then on the other side, you have the neocons, which are they're basically your rambunctious, reckless, bull in a china shop kind of group, where they're like, we got to go straight to military action. Everything right now is, we got to have military action, like John Bolton, like Mike Pompeo. You know, they're more unhinged, and they're more reckless, and more stupid in how they approach things. Whereas, you know, the liberal left...
John Bolton was recently out there pushing for the no-fly zone, right?
Yes. Yeah, John Bolton. And then the liberal left establishment types would be like, you know, Victoria Nuland and Tony Blinken and you know, those types, where they're basically like, no, we're just going to see if we can squeeze them out. And, you know, both of them are ultimately going to fail, especially, you know, with a strong Russia and a strong China. Because, number one, you know, Zoe already said, the sanctions they're not going to hurt Russia. They're just going to hurt people back home. You know, with I'm sure we're all experiencing now the outrageous, you know, inflated gas prices everywhere we go. Why is that? Well, that's because, you know, amongst many things, cutting off the Keystone Pipeline, but also because of the sanctioning against Russia, and America depends a lot on, you know, Russian oil. And that's been cut off, and now America's having trouble getting it even from, you know, Saudi Arabia, supposedly our greatest ally, despite the fact that they chop people's heads off over there. And now they're having trouble getting it from there. And in fact, President Xi Jinping is supposed to go to Saudi Arabia, and I think the Sauds are also seeing that America's failing, and they need a better deal. So they're going to be talking with China. So that's the thing. It's ultimately all going to fail. And then, yeah, okay, the U.S. military, you know, the neocons talk about, oh, the U.S. military. Well, what is the U.S. military now? It's, you know, a bunch of fags and trannies and weirdos. It's like,
Are you disparaging the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military?
Is who?
I asked if you were disparaging the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military.
Well, I mean, the good news about their stupidity in turning the U.S. military into this is that it makes them weaker. So that way, you know, they won't... Global homo will have a much harder time, you know, trying to reassert itself from these, you know, from these righteous nations that have broken free from global homo. Russia and China, you know, being the two largest. So
the United States, okay, we've got supposedly 330 million. There may be somewhat more, 10 or 20 more million undocumented, undocumented my values immigrants. But the thing is, and, you know, that's more than twice the Russian population. But if you look at the American population now compared to 1970, when it was, 220 million, maybe, the population is much less healthy. For one thing, of course, the diversity has just created a lot of disunity, but also just on the individual level, the average individual is far less healthy. And, you know, the white population is old. It's aged, and it's not reproducing, and it's sick, and there's, you know, Social Security disability, like so many people in their 50s are going on Social Security. They've got drug problems. You've got heavy pharmaceutical drug use. I mean, the population is really unhealthy. And, you know, then amongst the young, you've got this big upsurge in all sorts of mental and psychological disorders, including homosexuality, which once was considered a psychological disorder. We've got just a really, really unhealthy population, and it's a population that honestly is no longer able to sustain itself. And I'm not talking about demographically. I'm just talking about in terms of sustenance, in terms of its own food and shelter and clothing and whatnot. It no longer provides for itself. What would happen if we were no longer able to get imports of all these consumer products, which, by the way, come more than from anywhere else. They come from China. So what happens to us?
Americans are toast.
Americans are toast. So this is the question. This is the other question that was asked by this gentleman who I referred to before. What was it? Alexander? I can't even remember now. And I lost that page. But, oh, here it is. I just want to get it right. By Alexander Mercouris. And he said that, you know, the on the more narrow basis, the Ukrainian, there's all this propaganda that the Ukrainian military is either winning or it's just, it's resisting much more fiercely than the Russians expected, which he says is not true, but that's what the propaganda is. And so you've got these little pockets of Ukrainian soldiers or partisans in who are more or less isolated in various parts of the country. And he said it would be one thing if, like, during World War II, Stalingrad, which was a city not far from Ukraine in southern Russia, where they held off the German army and resisted fiercely, where ultimately the resistance was more or less annihilated, but it tied down the Germans for long enough that then they were unable to capture the Baku oil fields before winter and this and that, and really messed up German plans. He said it would be one thing if the Ukraine, these pockets of Ukrainian troops were being propagandized to fight to the death, if there was something tangible, some military objective that it was helping to achieve. But there's not. They're being asked to fight to the death for a cause that they know is hopeless, that the central government knows is hopeless. So you've got that. Yeah. And then I was just going to ask, like, on the greater scale, you've got Americans who are being told that everything's, the Russians are being defeated. They're being told a lot of things that in a month or so, it's just going to come out that it was plain lies.
Well, not only that, but also the Ukrainians, if you see some of the footage, they're turning on each other. I mean, the way that the Jew President Zelensky just keeps handing out, you know, machine guns to every you know, fighting age male. And what are they doing? They're using them to go and loot and, you know, to burn, smash, and pillage, you know, their own city. I mean, they're turning on each other is what's happening in Ukraine. And that's another thing, too, I was going to mention between the liberal left establishment and the neocons, is that the liberal left, the way they're thinking is, oh, yeah, Ukrainians, they're winning. They're resisting really, really good. And even though they're not. Whereas the neocons are like, oh, no, you know, the Biden's not doing enough. We need to send in the military. So that's, I think in this regard, a lot of the neocons, they recognize that the Ukrainians aren't winning, but they think, oh, the U.S. has to intervene, whereas a lot of the liberal left establishment types keep saying the Ukrainians are winning. So that's another aspect between the two sides of the American empire.
So what I wonder is, you got, you know, Blinken, Victoria Nuland, Wendy Sherman, the Jew crew that runs the State Department, and, you know, they're other people of their ilk who are collaborating with them, you know, in the government, Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence, or in the media. And, you know, at some level, they've got to know that Putin's going to meet his military objectives. And so what I wonder is, do they say, are they worried that, oh, you know, we're going to be exposed as having lied? Or is it like, okay, once it's been exposed that the Russians win, are we going to be able to push the line that they just committed giant atrocities? And the Ukrainian, you know, the fact that Ukraine lost in spite of their valiant fighting, then it becomes kind of the poster child to enlist infinity outrage against Putin. You know, I'm trying to, and I think it could go either way, and I think maybe it's a gamble that they're making. What do you think that regular American people are going to think in a few weeks once it becomes clear that Ukraine has lost, and might even become clear that they never had a prospect of winning, and that we've been lied to just like we were lied to in the Iraq War? What do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. We could go either way. And it really depends on which Americans you ask. I think, you know, and it's, you know, no longer, you know, whether they're more liberal or conservative. I mean, the liberal left is all in for Ukraine, no matter what. And then on the conservative side, you got, you know, they're not pro-Russian, but let's just say that you got some Americans who are, you know, just like that NPC meme, you know, I support the current thing.
Hey, yeah. Listen, we're at the last break, but I'm going to have you continue on the other side.
Yeah, that's fine.
Und die Sonne uns sagt, der Tag liebe weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur ist unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Okay, so just continuing about when it becomes obvious that Ukraine has lost and maybe even becomes obvious that they never had a prospect of winning, what happens? The type of people that are still wearing a mask, I mean, you've got that type of people who probably will continue to forever wear a mask. What is that type of person going to be thinking about the Ukrainian experience?
Well, he's gonna be, be supporting Ukraine no matter what to the very end. Until the U.S. mainstream media changes their talking points, and then they're going to support that. That's what the NPCs are. I support the current thing, whether it's COVID vaccine passports or Ukraine. It's like I support them both. That's how they are. So you got those people, which, you know, I mean, they're helpless as far as I'm concerned. But then you just got your average working American who's just struggling. You know, he lives paycheck to paycheck. He's just trying to make a living, trying to get by. And he sees the prices off the shelves, you know, going up and up and up. You know, the gas, you know, prices at the gas pump, especially going up and up and up. And then food is going up and up and up. And everything's going up and up. And he's realizing, you know, everything is going up except for his paycheck. Mm-hmm. The only thing that doesn't go up is his salary or his wage. And he's gonna be thinking now. Here's the thing where it gets, you know, either it could go good, really well, or really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I start to question and think, you know, there's something about this. You know, and, you know, he's already dissatisfied with the government, but he can either, you know, come to realize, you know, it's because of this stupid government, government of that, you know, all these sanctions and, you know, all their, you know, cutting off the Keystone Pipeline and making it impossible for the American worker to, you know, survive. It's because of our government's fault. Nothing to do with Russia, nothing to do with over there, but it's because of our government policies, with sanctions against Russia and within our own country, you know, within our own borders. Mm. Or he could say, yeah, it's Putin's fault. It's Putin. The reason why my gas prices are so high is because of Russia, because of Putin. And, you know, yeah, we need to go to war. And that's where it gets really dangerous, is this mentality. Yeah. He blames Russia for the high gas prices and everything, when it's really our own federal government putting sanctions both in Russia and here at home. So it could go
either way. And, you know, one way that it could go that because, like, the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, the Iraq War, they didn't at the time when they were big deals, there wasn't an economic crisis going on simultaneously. Now we've had a couple, you know, you had the 2008 housing loan crisis and everything, and then you had a big crisis in 2020 in the midst of the economic shutdowns, but they weren't being related to a war. You know, the worst way this could work out is potentially, okay, so Russia meets its objectives in Ukraine, but Ukraine becomes a cause celebre, and there's all this never again stuff, never again stuff, and then they gin up something in Taiwan, and they push the Taiwanese government to declare independence, and then you got military action there, and we said never again. So we only have another 30 seconds or so. Cato, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If there's one thing about the American empire, you know, going back to this quote by the vice foreign minister, when he says, he says here, unimaginable consequences of a nuclear power is forced into a corner. Well, that can also be taken the other way. And it's right. The American empire that's a dying, you know, a rabid dog that's full of, you know, diseases, that's been backed into a corner. And this is why it's so dangerous, because that empire can lash out and take the whole world down with it, as many, you know, many academics and commentators have said. All empires come to an end, but we've never seen one with the capability to take down the whole world with it, because of nuclear power. That's the United States empire.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen in the next 7 days, and that we get another chance to come back. Okay, yes, for joining me.
Well, thank you, and let's make it another week.
And hopefully we'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to and fro.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.